Om Shanti. Once again, Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Dadi Janki has started this trend of saying Om Shanti 3 times. And then she gives the meaning of 3 times. Om Shanti. Who am I? Whom do I belong to? And from where am I? Or why am I? So I know I'm a soul and my nature is peace. I belong to the ocean of peace and I've come from the world of peace. And once I come to know this, I experience complete newness in life. So before we became Brahmins, before we became the mouth progeny of Brahma, before we were adopted by Shiv Baba, we were all in the Shudra clan. The Shudra clan means those who were indulging in all the vices, those who were under the dictates of Maya, Ravan. And once we got the introduction of the Self, introduction of God, introduction of God's creation, the cycle, the drama. Once we got this introduction, immediately a new realization came in our life. And that was the newness in us. Baba says it takes only a second to be awake. One can be fast asleep and just a second helps him to wake up. It doesn't take long to wake up. It's just a matter of eyes closed and eyes open. Before we were sleeping in the slumber of ignorance, totally ignorant of the knowledge of the Creator and His creation. We were also aware only of the worldly things. Never we even thought of going within, searching within, looking for the true Self within, or even thinking that peace could ever be within me, because we were looking for peace outside. And in search of peace outside, we did so many things, but we were going away and away from peace. Why? Because we were going away and away from ourselves. We were going away and away from God. But that search was on. And sometimes Baba asks us, who found whom? Did you find Baba? Or did Baba find you? Who found whom? Those who think that we found Baba, they raise their hand. No one. Acha? And those who say that Baba found us, raise your hand. Okay, great. So, you are strong, you are very powerful, no doubt. Yes, why we say Baba found us? Because we looked around, looked and looked and looked, and still we couldn't find. And one fine day, someone came to me and gave me God's introduction, told me the address of the center, invited me to take the course. So that one was God's messenger. Come to me. God found me through that messenger. Because that's what Baba said today also, that all of you are messengers. It wasn't just one prophet soul of a particular religion who was a messenger, but at this time all of you become messengers, because I am the true messenger. I have brought a message. And what is a message God brings to us? Children, now we have to return home. Now we have to return home. No one else brought this message. Prophet souls didn't bring this message that we have to return home, because that was not the time to return home. They were supposed to help, to support the world. And for that, the new branches of the Kalpa tree were created. But when the world tree becomes completely deteriorated, totally old and decayed, then God has to come to give us the message that now, children, you have to return home. And you have to return to that new world in which you were 5,000 years ago. So Baba came and gave us two gifts on our birthday. Which two gifts Baba gave us on our birthday? The moment we were born, or we can say we got those gifts and we got a new life, a new Brahmin life. What are those two gifts? One, Baba says, I give you a divine intellect. This is one gift. A divine intellect. Because with that divine intellect, all these deep aspects of spirituality, you are able to understand. Before, because we didn't have the divine intellect, we just couldn't understand these things. But then, it was just a matter of a second. As we got the divine intellect, everything became so, so easy. Before we would think, oh, how can I be a soul? How can I find God? All these things are very, very too far away from me. Because we were so body conscious. And the moment we got that spark, that new light, immediately the realization came, yes, I'm a soul. I'm the child of God. And the moment I understood this, that I'm a soul and I'm a child of God, that divine intellect came, then we got the second gift. And what was that second gift? The third eye. The third eye of seeing all the three aspects of time. Before we were so limited to this I-ness and mine-ness in the physical way. I and mine, I and mine. And because we were having such limited intellects of I and mine, we never broadened our intellect to go far into the three aspects of time. We were just living in the present. But then, no present can be without a past. Every past leads to a present, and every present leads to a future. Usually people say, don't think of the past. Past is history. Forget it. We don't want to learn history. It's gone. We don't have to remember history. So past was history. Forget it. And future is a mystery. Forget that too. Because future is a mystery. We don't know. Live only in the present, and that is the gift. But Baba says, no. Present alone is not enough. The present is a result of the past. And this present will give the result of the future too. So all the three are equally connected to each other. You cannot say that forget the past and it's a history and don't bother about the future because that's a mystery. But yes, we have understood by receiving the third eye of knowledge that we have gone through all the three aspects of time, past, present and future. And this present will become past. And the future will become present. And then that future will become past again. So it's a cycle. And also the knowledge of the drama, that whatever is happening is nothing new. It has happened 5,000 years ago. And also whatever is happening, it is very, very beneficial. Nothing is harmful in the drama. Everything is beneficial. There must be some benefit behind anything happening in today's world or any time in the world. And the third thing, that whatever is happening is accurate. It is right. We can never say that what happened was wrong. Nothing is wrong. Everything is right. Everything is accurate. Everything is beneficial. And also nothing is new. This is the newness we felt when we got Baba's Gyan. And we got a new life. And we say that we are now dead from the old life. Just like when someone takes rebirth, he does not remember his past life. So we now have taken a new birth through the mouth of Brahma. And we have become Brahma Kumars and Kumaris, the newest creation of Brahma, Brahma the Creator. We are His first creation. As Brahma is the first soul through whom God creates the new world, Adam and Adam. The word Adam comes from the word Admi. Admi means human being. So we can say the first human being, Brahma. And we can say also the last human being, because through him the new world is created, so he is the last human being. After that they become deities, humans become deities. So the first and the last, and it's a confluence of first and last. The first age and the last age of the previous cycle. The first birth of 84 births and the last birth of 84 births. Therefore the confluence. We say we are in our last birth, the 84th birth. And we also say that this is the first birth of the 21 births. So first birth of 21 births, and last birth of 84th birth. So how special this life of ours is. Baba says you are more precious than even the deities. The life of deities is, we say, gold-like, but your life is diamond-like. Our life is worth diamonds, much more precious than gold. Because in the golden age, we will not have this knowledge of the three aspects of time. Baba sometimes says that deities are like royal Buddhas. Buddhu. Buddhu means very innocent. Very innocent. So royal innocent souls. But here now, as we have received the third eye to see all the three aspects of time, we have received the divine intellect. Our intellect has become so elevated, so pure, that we are able to visualize anything we wish to. Sitting in one place, we can visualize heaven. We can visualize the subtle regions. We can visualize how elevated we souls were. We can visualize how elevated we will become again. And also how elevated we are now. Because not many people really understand that we are elevated at this moment too. Some think that they are very high, very elevated, but then they think it in a very egoistic way. No one is higher than me, I am the highest of all. But then that is ego. Because the more high we go, the more humble we have to become. The more humble we have to become, the higher we go. Even otherwise we see a tree laden with fruits. The more the fruits in that tree, the more it has to bend, it has to bow. It cannot be upright and have fruits, it has to bend. So the more higher we go, the more humble we have to become. But if we are not humble, then again that would be ego. And who can be humble? The one who is laden with fruits. A tree which has fruits will always be bow, will always bow. So if we have the fruits of divine virtues, we will be humble. Otherwise, it's only body consciousness. We are rising in life, so becoming successful in life. We are becoming richer in life. We are having lots of property. You know, so many things. We have a very good position. So we may be alighting, we may be rising high. But if the ego comes in, then one day there will be a very big fall. Falling from the highest floor. And we can be crushed to pieces. And therefore Baba says, the higher you go, the more humble you have to become. See how God is the highest on high. And yet, how humble he becomes when he comes in the world. He says, I am your most obedient servant. He comes and bows before us. You are my masters. So much respect he gives to his children. Otherwise, he is the highest on high. We are nothing compared to that highest Almighty Father, comparatively. But he says, no, you are also masters in what I am. And therefore, the higher we go, the more and more humble we have to become. Otherwise, it will lead to our downfall. You know, those trees which rise very high, very high, and they don't know how to bend. When there's a storm, they fall first. Is it not? They fall first. But then those trees which know how to bend, they know how to be humble, then they are safe. So the more humble we are, the more safe we are. The more we have the ego, the more there is fear of falling. So this is the newness we bring in ourselves. At every step, newness is felt. Newness in our thinking, newness in our speaking, newness in our doing, newness in our behavior, newness in our relationships. Actually, newness in everything, at every step. How before we were so body conscious, we would see each one as a body and then come into limits of name, form, color, creed, caste, language, nationality, what not. So many differences there are in the world today, and the proof of that is how people are fighting against each other because they feel that we are different. But if they would feel that we are all alike as souls, no one would fight. They would all come together. Of course, another way Baba also says, each one is unique. No one is like the other. No one. No two features meet. No two fates meet. No two voice meet. You know, even voice of each one is different. No two people's actions are alike. Nothing is alike. Thinking is also different, everything different. My thinking may not be like your thinking. And therefore, I may think I am right and you will think you are right. And both fight because I think I am right, you think you are right. But both are right in your own way. But we don't understand this and therefore we fight. But then how Baba comes and teaches us soul consciousness. Baba says, okay, you're all different, no doubt, but you're all souls. You're all my children. And as we consider this, that we are all children of only one father, although we may be different, but we are all united. And this world is one family, one world family. And once this is understood, how our vision changes completely. Complete change comes in our vision. We feel everything new. It's like we were so blind before and we got new eyes. I remember I was reading somewhere that a family was sitting in a train and they had a son, he was 20 years old, about 20 years old. And, I mean, quite old enough, must be intelligent too. And he was sitting and looking outside from the window, you know, of the train. And as he was watching and he was so thrilled. He's telling his father, see father, the clouds are following us. The clouds are following us. See father, even these buildings are following us. And the father was so happy to see him, you know, saying that, to hear him this. And so one person who was sitting next to him, next to that family, he was wondering, why is the father so happy? He's such a 20-year-old boy and Look at him, he's just saying, oh, daddy, these clouds are flying with us, this is coming with us, this is coming with us, you know, that's what he felt. But is he senseless? Why is he saying like that? It's nothing new. So he asked the father of that boy who was so excited. And you know what the father said? My child was blind. And we are just returning from that doctor who gave him eyes. He couldn't see. He didn't know anything of this world. And now he has got eyes to see. And so for him, the whole world is something new. For us, it's not new, you know, the father said, because we could see before also. But he couldn't see. And now he got eyes to see. That's why he's so excited. It is also new for him because he got new eyes. Can you imagine how happy that child was? Are we also the same? We got the new eye. We got a third eye. We can see all the three aspects of time. I remember someone sharing his experience that all of a sudden, whenever he would look at anyone, he could feel his future, what's going to happen to him in the future. He could see that. And then once he told somebody, you are going to die in 2 months. My God, it was a big shock. You are going to die in 2 months. And because he could see that scene, and after 2 months, this person will meet with an accident and he will die. And he told him that. But that person got very angry. How dare you say that? He slapped him. How dare you say that? And he said, but I could see. And then again he went somewhere else. He saw the person's face and said, you know, something, it's a long story. And then people asked him, how are you saying that? He said, I can see. But then definitely, even if you can see someone going to die after 2 months, don't tell him. Never tell him. You know, I remember that one person came to me and said, sister, I can see as if this is the future of that person. I said, but please don't tell him. Please don't tell him. Because it is destined. But if you tell him beforehand, these 2 months that he is going to live before he dies, even that he will not never be happy. Because only this thought, I'm going to die, will come. So don't tell him. Don't tell. But Babaj says to tell the future. Which future? Which future? Which future Baba tells us to tell everyone? Because we can see that future. Which future is that? The future of the new world. Because when we see this old world so degraded, so deteriorated, so vicious, so sorrowful, there is no hope in the world. But then we create hope in the people. And we say to them, well, the future is very bright. There will be a new world. There will be a golden age. And this world which is now we see with these eyes, it's not going to stay forever like this. There will be a very big change. And we have to be ready for that change. Or rather, we have to bring that change. Mahatma Gandhi said very beautifully, we have to be the change we want to bring in the world. If we want to bring change in the world, we have to be that change. Such a beautiful depth there is in this sentence. And we are being that change for changing this world, for making the golden aged world come on this earth. So Baba was saying in today's Murli also that those who are responsible for destruction, they are ever ready, they are prepared, they are ready to switch on the button, that's all, missile attacks will start. They don't have to do much. Sitting in one place, they can start the Third World War. They don't have to make effort for that. Everything is in their hands. But why aren't they doing it? Why aren't they pressing the button? What is making them stop? What is making them not press the button? Because we are not ready. You know, just like those who are to open the curtain, they are ready to open the curtain. But the actors behind the curtain are not ready. So that person who is supposed to, you know, pull the strings of the curtain to open it, he's saying, when do you want me to open the curtain? Be ready quickly, be ready, because those, the curtain's open and people are still dressing up. How funny it will be, no? Still making their hair or making, doing their makeup or whatever. Or just fixing the chairs and the curtain opens. It looks so bad. So the person who is to open the curtain has to wait till all the actors are ready for the show. And therefore Baba says, destruction is all, the preparations of that are done, and not just one world. I don't know how many worlds they can destroy, that much they have prepared. They're all ready. But we who are to come in the new world are not ready. Or sometimes Baba says, can you not see the golden aged world in front of your eyes? Can you not see your home where you are to return? Can you not see the subtle regions where you and the, Baba says, this is the parents' home and the golden age is the in-laws' home. So subtle regions is a place where those from the parents' home and those from the in-laws' home meet. The deities meet the Brahmins in the subtle regions. So that's a meeting point. You know? Supposing I'm wanting to meet someone. There are three ways to meet that person. One way is that I go to his place and meet him. The other is that he comes to my place and meets me. And the third is, we both decide that we will meet at such and such place. He also comes out from his house, I also go out of my house and meet at a particular place somewhere in between. So when we say we have to meet God, are we going to do bhakti and then through bhakti meet God? Or after completing our bhakti, God comes to meet us? Or will myself and I and God will both start our journey and meet at some middle point? What do you think? What do you think? First, second or third? I will go and meet, or he will come and meet us, or we both meet at some middle point? He will have to come out here. Baba was saying the other day that some people say, why can't just God inspire from the soul world, you know, just inspire, do this work of world transformation or ushering the new world through some inspirations. But Baba says it's not possible through inspirations. Why? Because we souls have become stone intellects. So as stone intellects, we just can't experience anything. What experience can stones have? So we were stone intellects. And therefore, by sitting in Paramdham and then maybe inspiring us from there wouldn't help. He has to come down. He has to come down and be like one of us. Not that to take birth and to take a body of his own, but then Baba says, I come in a physical body. And then make you perform those actions which you are supposed to do. And Brahma becomes an example for you, and therefore Baba says, follow Brahma. For one father, Baba says, see father. And for the other father, Baba says, follow father. So see father means, remember the father, Shiv Baba. And follow father means, follow Brahma Baba. Because some can say, oh Shiv Baba, you are in the soul world, you don't know how we are suffering in this old world. You take a body and you'll come to know how much suffering there is in this old world. Baba says, if I also would come in this old world like you, take a body and experience the suffering, then how will I take you away from this suffering? I'm the only one who is beyond all this. If I also become like you, I cannot take you beyond. The one who is falling cannot make somebody rise. Cannot. Only the one who is already risen, he can make the one who is falling to rise. So if God would be like us, how could he make us rise? And therefore Baba is the only one who is separate, beyond. We souls who come in the cycle of birth and death and pain and pleasure, happiness and sorrow, all the opposites of this world, we souls go through that. God doesn't. So someone is needed to take us out of this. So Baba says, this newness you have to bring in yourself as you have become Brahmins now. You have to change your old beliefs. Because whatever Baba comes and says and does is everything new. If it would have been there in the scriptures beforehand, this world would not have become Kali Yuga, would not have become Iron Age. That's why many people tell us, well, where is it mentioned in the scriptures? We say, if it would have been mentioned, then this world will never change. It will go down and down and down. So God creates a new world, but for that He gives us new knowledge. On one hand we say it is new knowledge. On the other hand we also say it is the oldest knowledge. Oldest. Which God spoke 5,000 years ago, the memorial of that is the Gita, God's versions. But then so much of mixture has come into that. God's name has been changed, the biggest blunder. And therefore everything is forgotten. The truth has gone into oblivion, we say, just forgotten, just lost. And therefore Baba has to awaken us, and he now says, I give you this divine intellect, I give you the third eye. And once we receive these two gifts, we become so, so rich. So rich. Rich in what? Baba says, don't go for these physical riches. These physical riches will finish one day. They won't accompany you. But what riches? Today also Baba said, Baba is the doctor of spiritual knowledge. People are doctors of philosophy. They do PhD, doctor of philosophy. So So doctor of philosophy, so many philosophies are there in the world today. So many. Each one has his own philosophy, own thesis he writes, his own research, he researches in his own way. So they have become all philosophies. But these philosophies don't lead us to God. No, we give an example, don't we, of five blind men, how they entered a zoo and there was a big elephant there, big elephant. And so elephant was so huge in size and these men were not that big compared to the elephant. So each one just held one of his body parts. Someone held his trunk. And he said, oh, this looks like a snake. You know, it's moving. It's like this is a snake. The other one next to him, he said, no, this is like a pillar. Because he touched his legs, pillar. The third one touched his stomach. He said, no, this is like a wall. Hmm? The fourth one touched his ears. He said, oh, but this looks like a fan. Hmm? The fifth one touched his tail, which looked like a rope. He said, no, this is a rope. Now, how was the elephant? Was he like a pillar? Was he like a snake? Was he like a rope? Was he like a wall? Or was he like a fan? How was he? How was the elephant? They couldn't see, no, they only felt what they could feel. That's what they said. The same thing goes for God. They can't see God, no? It's so interesting that how God comes at this confluence age and then He hides Himself for a whole kalpa. He hides Himself. He hides in such a way that no one can find Him. And the result is so many philosophies in the world. Because they can't see God anyway. You know, many people question, why can't we see God? So Baba sometimes says, you ask him, can you see your own soul? You can't see your own soul also. Can you see your own face? You need a mirror to see your face. Can you see your face without a mirror? Maybe in a photograph. Huh? But how accurate the photograph would be, how accurate even a mirror would be. You have blemishes maybe on your skin, but you look at the mirror and you say, no, there are blemishes on the mirror, no, but they are on your skin. Or there may be blemishes on the mirror and you think they are on my skin, you know, it's like that. You go, you see one mirror, you see yourself very tall. Next mirror you go, you see yourself very short, you know, different mirrors. In some mirrors you see yourself very, very fat. In some mirrors you see yourself so thin. So mirrors are different. Similarly, different types of feelings, different types of understandings, different types of beliefs. You cannot have only one concept. Why? Because you can't see God. That's the biggest thing. And because we cannot see God, there are so many concepts. And the result is that we go astray and more astray from God. But then God Himself has to come and tell us how He is. You know, you go to a certain place and you're looking for someone. And you 10 people you ask about that someone, they will tell you 10 things about that person. And you'll get so confused. So until you meet that person yourself, you cannot really understand how that person is. And you don't know him, then how to meet him? But he knows you. He knows you. So definitely he can meet you. You may be with him and still not meet him, you know, not know him. I remember there I was reading somewhere about Mahatma Gandhi. You know, Gandhiji used to go from place to place to meet the people. Well, everybody started knowing him because he was wanting independence and for that struggling in different ways. So people were following him. But he was so simple, just one cloth around his body, that's all, you know, very simple. And one day it seems that he went alone in a train. And there was somebody else sitting next to him. And he actually came to meet Mahatma Gandhi at a particular place. And Mahatma Gandhi was sitting with him. But that person didn't know, he had not seen him before. He didn't even know see his photograph, but he just heard that Mahatma Gandhi and he's coming here, so he went to meet him. And Mahatma Gandhi was sitting next to him, but he didn't recognize. And as the station came, he came out, stood first near the door to come out, and he saw so many people standing at the station. Victory to Mahatma Gandhi, victory to Mahatma Gandhi, and he was standing at the gate. What my victory to Mahatma Gandhi? Gandhi is not here. I have come to see him. Then Mahatma Gandhi was standing behind. Oh, this one is Mahatma Gandhi. So whole time he was sitting with him in the train. But because he didn't know him, he looked like any other ordinary person, maybe a villager. He couldn't recognize him. And then he realized, oh, I was sitting next to him, but I couldn't recognize him. So this is same thing with God also. You know, many people question, how God comes? They don't realize how God comes. And when we say that he comes in the body of Brahma, or now we say, okay, Gulzar Dadi, Bab Dada, you know, all that, that is the elaboration, the extension. But then they say, if God would come like that, then, well, you people should be well known in the world. But Baba says, no, everything is incognito. Incognito. God will never be exposed like that. Baba was saying in many Murlis too, he keeps saying, if God would come in the form of Krishna, the whole world will come to Mount Abu to meet Krishna, or Sri Krishna has incarnated. The whole world would come. But no, out of millions, only a few, and out of those only a few will recognize God. But then they can recognize us because we are the messengers. And through us, of course, they can recognize God. But then for that, Baba says, you have to become Bab Saman. Each one of you has to become an example. Brahma Baba did his work. He was like a seed. But then that seed also becomes incognito. And now we say, yes, Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba in the subtle regions waiting for us, waiting to open the gates of Paramdham. You know, at the beginning of the yajna, when Baba would say that we will all live together, we will all be together, and we will all go back together. This was not understood by many. What they felt, we'll all be together, we'll all live together, and we'll all go back together. You know what they felt? They felt that Brahma Baba would be with us in physical form all the time. Never they thought that Baba can also leave the body. Never. Because we'll all go together means even Brahma Baba will be with us, no? To go together. And Mama was the first one to leave the body. Many had questions. Mama gone, Then Baba says, we'll all go together. And when Mama left the body, new revelations came. The new revelation was that Mama will be the leader in the advance party. We need an advance party who will be in advance to give birth to the deities. We never thought of that. Because before, the deities have to come on this earth, but who are going to give them birth? Not impure beings, but those yogi souls who are going to give birth to deities. So advance party is needed. And Mama will be their leader. This was what message Baba sent. And then we thought, okay, now will the rest are together. Brahma Baba is with us together. We'll all go together. And then when Brahma Baba left the body, again a big question. Brahma Baba gone. And the message came, Brahma Baba is not gone. He is with you, he will be with you till the end, and all go together to open the gates of Paramdham. He won't leave you in the lurch like that. But then, from the subtle regions, Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba in the combined form will do this task of world transformation faster. Till Baba became avyat, this service was happening at ant speed. We didn't have many centers, hardly 120-100 centers maybe, and maybe a few thousand Brahmins maybe. But then after Baba became avyat, how Baba's service expanded like anything. So as they say that God's ways are unique, everything of God is unique. No one can copy Him. So we are seeing unique work of God. Many people, when they hear that we say God's work is going on here, they say, well, God could have come in the body of a pure person. Baba was saying Bala Brahmachari, pure by birth, pure from birth, But God came in this old man who was a family man with so many children. So maybe he led a vicious life and all that. How could God come in his body? God should come in a very pure person. The one who has been celibate from birth. But Baba says, no. Baba needs someone who has the experience of family life. Many people ask us also, you don't have experience of family life. How can you give knowledge to family people? You must have experience of family life. Only then you can give them knowledge, because what problems they have, you don't have those problems which only family men have, householders have. Because we came to Baba, we were young, and little children, and we came to Baba and surrendered to Baba, living in centers. So we don't have really that experience of what householders would have. Those who have parents, family, children, all that, grandchildren, whatnot. Like Baba was saying, when a girl is a Kumari, she has to remember just her parents and her maternal relatives. But once she gets married, she has double relationships. Husband side relatives as well as parent side relations. So she has many more people to remember, so her body, so her intellect is totally diverted. So how do you have experience of what household life is like? But once when somebody questioned me this, it just struck my mind. I don't know how this came in my mind. I said that maybe in this life, okay, I don't have experience of what household life is. But this soul has come from so many births. It's not that in every birth I have not had household life. I must have had, no? 63 births, we had all been vicious, no? We were indulging in vices. So we all have this experience, we all have those sanskars. Even if he is not married, still the sanskars of impurity are there in him. Anyway, the body is impure anyway. And experience is not just what you experience. Experience could be experienced in different ways. What you read is also experience. What you hear from people is also experience. What you see is also experience. And what you experience yourself is also experience, no doubt. It's not just what you experience that is experience. So we do not have the experience of what household life is, but then we keep getting information from householders, know how problem, how many problems they have, which we may not have, we don't have. So even listening to them gives us that experience. And we can give them better advice than even a householder can give them. You know, for Mama, it used to be, Mama had never seen any vision. Never. Brahma Baba saw many visions of destruction, of golden age, of point of light, you know, everything he saw. But Mama never saw even once a vision of just light, even that she didn't see. But she was such a knowledgeful soul that those who would get visions, they would not understand what that vision meant. And they used to come to Mama. Mama, I saw this, I saw that, but I don't know what it meant, Mama. And Mama would tell them the meaning of what they saw. And she had never got visions. So it's not necessary that you have to have experience, only then you can give the understanding or the advice. Because the soul already has that experience. And therefore, when people question us this, we give them this answer. You know, there's a story about Adi Shankaracharya. Adi Shankaracharya, the one who established sannyas religion, the sannyasis, the recluses, hermits. So he was the first one. He was a totally celibate person, no? And the story goes that one person, he started debating with Adi Shankaracharya that you are celibate from birth, you don't know what family life is, you don't know what worldly life is, you don't know, how can you argue with us about worldly life, about family life? First you have to prove that you have experienced family life. So they tell in that story, the scriptures of Adi Shankaracharya, his story, life story, that he said, okay, I will experience. And what he did, he told his disciples that I'm now lying down and the soul will leave the body. This body will be dead, but don't think it is dead. I'm just leaving my costume here. And at that time, a king had left his body somewhere. So the soul of Adi Shankaracharya, he entered the body of the king. Now the king was dead. People were crying. And all of a sudden he became alive again. All of a sudden that king became alive again. But it was not the soul of the king, it was the soul of Adi Shankaracharya in that body. Well, that's what they say in his biography. And when the king woke up, his vision was so different because sanskars were different, no? Soul was different. His sanskars were different, his way of looking at people was different, his speaking was totally different. He was like a sort of an elevated stage. And everybody was wondering, is this the king? Because the body was of the king, but the soul was different. So people were surprised. But then He told his disciple before leaving the body that I will be away for 3 days and after 3 days I will come back. So keep the body intact. Otherwise they go and cremate the body, you know. So keep the body intact. And they looked after the body and after 3 days that soul came back and said, now I can argue what family life is. You understand? I don't know how far it's true, but then that's the story of Adi Shankaracharya. That how he said, I've experienced what family life is. And he came back after 3 days. But we don't have to do that. Huh? And we can't even do that anyway. I don't know how it was possible for him. But then that's his story. So sometimes there's a lot of exaggeration too. But then we can give the understanding. So all the understandings which Baba has given to us, the knowledge which Baba has given to us, is absolutely so new. And it is like the middle path. It's the middle path. Because in the world we see two different paths. One path is the totally materialistic path. Totally materialistic. And the other path is the totally recluse life, the sannyasis. Because for them everything is maya, maya, the sannyasis. Everything maya. A woman is maya, wealth is maya, 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 they'll say for everything. And they want to renounce that. They just want to avoid that. And on the other hand, the materialistic people, for them, everything is real. Maya means, actually the word maya means illusion. Something which really doesn't exist, but people think it exists. And therefore when they say this is all maya, actually they say this doesn't exist. It's only in your mind. Why? Because in a way, yes, because everything is changing anyway, no? So something which is changing is definitely not permanent, it's not the truth, it is untruth. So all this is maya, it is untruth, it is changing, and therefore no attachment towards it. And those who are materialistic, for them, this is the truth. This is what the truth could be. There could be no other truth. So two extreme ends. But Baba says, you don't have to follow either. You are in the middle. You won't say everything is maya, no. They say, sannyasis will say a woman is maya. And Baba says, no, a woman is a shakti. You know, the big difference. And those who are materialistic, they will say, a woman is meant only for progeny, woman is meant for this. And man dominated society, so they sort of suppress the woman. They think that she is meant only for the happiness of the man, that's all. That's what some think. And here Baba says, no, a woman is a shakti. She is not maya. She should not be oppressed, she should not be downtrodden. She is a shakti, she is no less than man. But in the man-dominated society from Copper Age onwards, this is what they did to the women, even in the materialistic world. Or they just shed the women away, women away, and thought that men could do everything what they wanted, women could not do anything. But here Baba uplifts the mothers, uplifts the sisters, the daughters, and Baba makes them rise so high spiritually, that they not only come in level to the men, but they go even higher than the men. That's why Baba says in Satyug, Lakshmi is before Narayan. And Baba was saying the other day, that from the time Shiv Baba came in this world to uplift the women, even other people in the world started uplifting women. Otherwise, in no religion, women have any place in religion. No way. See, Christianity? No way. Now, of course, why? Because women opposed. Why can't we become priests? Why only men can become priests? Even women can become priests. In Islam, a woman has no place. She has to be always indoors, within four walls, that's all. Not allowed to lead a pure life if she wants to. She cannot. But yes, now things are changing because Baba came into this world and uplifted the mothers, the women. And then, in golden age, how mothers, women are even higher than the men, you know, therefore Lakshmi is before Narayan, Radhe before Krishna, Sita before Ram and so on. Devi and Devata we say, goddess and God, not God and goddess, goddess and God. Dwapur Kalyug, the Copper Age, Iron Age, man and woman, not woman and man. Brothers and sisters, not sisters and brothers. Somebody asked, why not sisters and brothers? Why brothers and sisters? Why brother should come before, Mr. should come before Mrs.? Because man dominated society. But now it's changing. Everything is changing. Mrs. before Mr., no? But what I'm trying to say is, God gives us the teacher, the middle path. Baba says, a woman is not Maya, she's a Shakti. Wealth is not Maya because something, wealth is Maya. Somebody is very wealthy, you know. They say he has lots of Maya. But wealth is not Maya. Wealth is necessary. You know, if you don't have wealth, how will you get food? How will you get clothing? How will you get shelter? You have to give money everywhere. But what is really Maya is lust for woman. That is Maya. Greed for wealth. That is Maya. Some would say children are Maya, you know, all this Maya, Maya, children. But children are not Maya, they are such innocent flowers, they are so innocent. To call them Maya is actually a big insult for children. But Maya is the attachment, my children, my children. I remember in Rajasthan, in you know, where Mount Abu is in Rajasthan, this is like a tradition that no woman will say, my children, my husband, my. They never use this word, my. Once I asked some, you know, a lady, are these your children? Are they your children? She said, they are your children. I said, they're not my children. She said, yes, they are your children. They will never say, my husband. They'll say, your brother. Your brother, aapka bhai, your brother said this. She won't say, my husband said this. So they don't use the word my, because my means attachment, my means ego. But then it's just a tradition, they really don't understand. This means that you have to give up ego, you have to give up attachment, you have to give up greed. Yeah, especially in Rajasthan. And the other beauty, I think, in all India is, it must be everywhere too, that, you know, when you're taking leave, they never say, okay, I'm taking leave. They never say like that. They say, okay, we'll meet again. We'll meet again. Aujo, phir milenge, you know. We'll meet again. Actually, to say goodbye means, we won't meet anymore. Actually, this word goodbye, how it has come down. The original word, original sentence may have been when people were taking leave. The original sentence was, may God be with you. May God be with you. Then gradually this sentence shortened. God by you. Then God by you became goodbye. And what does the word B-Y-E mean? Does it have a meaning? B-Y-E? B-Y has a meaning. By someone. But what is B-Y-E? So where is that E? What does it stand for? Actually it is God by ye. God by you. So that you is changed into E, so God, goodbye. So originally things were so different, but gradually how the changes have come. The original culture was for everyone very special. So they will not say, okay, bye-bye, taking leave, no. Okay, we'll meet again. We'll meet again. Because going, taking leave means going for good, not going to come again. So these things are there, but it must be in every culture, no doubt. But then what Baba is telling us, that this is the middle path. So what we had been thinking up to now was totally different from what Baba teaches us. And once my vision is clear, my third eye is open, my intellect has broadened, I've finished all the barriers, all the obstacles, all the restrictions, and having a broad intellect, all the limits end, and we become all one. That's why we say when God comes, He establishes three things. Other prophet souls establish only one thing. They establish just a religion. And that is also based on the needs of that time. Whatever was necessary to tell the people, that's what they said, the prophet souls. That's all. They neither helped in taking the souls back home, nor they really purified anyone, you know. Or even if they did, but only limited, because the world had to grow. But when God comes, He establishes three things. The first thing He establishes is a new religion. A new religion. It is the oldest religion and the newest religion. Oldest in the sense, in Hindi this is Sanatan. Sanatan means the oldest. The oldest means that which existed, but today it doesn't exist anymore. Only the memorials are there of the deities. But it surely did exist in this world. And we say it's 5,000 years ago. The memorials are there everywhere. And God is establishing that religion once again, which has gone into oblivion through divine virtues and through purity. Because purity is a must for establishing any religion. All the prophet souls could establish their religion because of that purity. So this is why Baba says, as you are establishing a new religion, purity is a must for everyone. So religion established through purity, the deity religion. The second thing God establishes is a new kingdom. When all the kingdoms are finished in this world, no kings remain. Even if they are just namesake. So when kingship finishes in the world, then God comes to establish kingship again. Because the kingship has been going on right from the beginning of the cycle. Kingship is a necessity. One leader. Only then that country can really work. But that leader should be very honest. The leader should be very sincere. The leader should be always broad-minded. You know, all those qualities are needed. But Copperage onwards, these leaders, how they came down and down the ladder, and that is why they are finished no more. So God comes and establishes a kingdom again. And how does He establish a kingdom again? What is necessary for establishing a kingdom? We need the laws, the bylaws. We need the rules, the regulations, what is it, the constitution. Every country has its own constitution. So God comes and teaches us the disciplines. Children, these disciplines you have to follow. And when we are following those disciplines, we are in this way establishing a new kingdom. And in that kingdom we need kings and queens and subjects and rich subjects and not rich subjects, servants, every status. And Baba says all that is being established here. All that. How much you study, how much you practice meditation, how much dharana you have, how much service you do, on that will depend your status. So you are establishing a kingdom. And thirdly, what Baba establishes is a family, world family. Golden age, at the beginning of golden age, everything was one family. The royal family, the king, queen, and all were kings and queens and their, even the subjects, actually it was one royal family. That is why Lakshmi and Narayana are called the sustainers. Vishnu is called the sustainer. So the family head are the sustainers of the family. Then how gradually all these family members, they bifurcated, they separated. The tree, which was just one main trunk, went into branches, and ultimately became so huge, so diverse. Branch leading to sub-branch, and sub-branch leading into more sub-branches. Baba talks about the genealogical tree. Now one head, mother and father, then their children, then their children, then their children, and their children, and their children. Huge family tree. And where they've disappeared, nobody knows. Went into remote corners of the world. And when God comes, He makes them come back again. And how does He make them come back again? Through the knowledge of soul and supreme soul. You're all souls. All different but still alike as souls, points of light. All are points of light. And Supreme Soul is only one. Father is only one. A father is like a magnet which brings all the needles together. You know, just like you have scattered needles everywhere and you want the needles to bring to come together, the best way is take a magnet. Take the magnet over every needle. And what will happen? All the needles will come together. And each needle will become like a temporary magnet to attract the other needle. And they'll all come towards the magnet. But why are they all towards the magnet? Why are they all together? Because of the magnet. But remove the magnet, what will happen? All the needles will scatter again, will fall apart again. But they came because of the magnet. They came together. So Baba comes and brings everyone together. That original family of golden age. But then went far away. And therefore Baba says, you have to search and find them. Baba found you. And what you have to do is find your brothers and sisters in every part of the world. And make them part of this one world family. So this is the newness we have to bring in us. All the four subjects make us experience the newness. We had never thought of that before. So once we really feel how new Baba is bringing the newness in us, we will never feel bored. We will never really, you know, give up. But we will all the time be more and more enthusiastic to explore more and more newness. Even our meditation is so unique. Each time, create a new thought. Otherwise, those people who chant mantras or whatever, you know, recite anything, everything is the same. So people get bored. But here, every time, new thoughts, new feelings, new vision, everything new. And this is the newness Baba wants to come in us. And when we experience this newness, we feel every moment is a new life for us. The new enthusiasm in us, the new hopes in us. Otherwise the world is going through a lot of depression because people have lost hopes. all hopes lost. And here, something new. So new hopes, new vision, new understanding. And let this newness remain with you all the time, for the enthusiasm and the spirits to be with you constantly. Okay? Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Thank you.